Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I am your host, Pastor Matthew Roman, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska. I would encourage you to do more with figuring out how you can get involved in supporting this radio station. And I will tell you two ways to do that. One, if you're able, you could send you could donate to the radio station regularly or once a year, or maybe make a special year in if you need a tax deduction. But you can find out more on apradio.org. The other way costs you nothing except for telling someone about this radio station. It is exciting to have a local radio station to support and get involved with. So tell somebody. Who can you tell? Hey, we got this great radio station. This is Hour of Hope, your opportunity to hear about the wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Every program, we have music, we have a testimony, and we have a great Bible study. I'm so glad you're a part and we can get to know one another. Hey, shoot me an email, MatthewVroman@gmail.com, M-A-T-H-E-W-V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N @gmail.com, M-A-T-H-E-W VROMAN@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Please send me an email. Well, I'm going to pray and then we're going to jump in. The theme of the program today, of course, it's hope, but specifically we are going to look at the theme of Thanksgiving because Thursday is Thanksgiving. With that, let me pray and let's enjoy the wonderful music centered around the theme of thanks. Lord, we pray you'd bless this program. People would understand about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Encourage those that need encourage. Challenge those that need challenge. And those that don't know you, they come to know you. Thank you. Bless this program and grow it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
His son. And now of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks.
Wonderful, wonderful song of give thanks. And of course, that should come from a grateful heart. We are focusing on the subject of thankfulness today. I got in my mail a monthly newsletter I get from the Community Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan. And their pastor always writes a Bible study note or devotional. Well, I want to read you a couple lines from it this month. Pastor Jackson writes, "Thankfulness is not natural, but is able to be nurtured in a person, isn't it?" And we would all agree with that. And then he says, "Here is my challenge for you. Share one thought you are thankful for about the Lord to somebody each day in November." And that is a great challenge. But let's continue with the theme of thankfulness. Do you have a thankful heart? Are you someone that is thankful? We all can grow in thankfulness.
describe the hell of trying to stay alive under such conditions, strung out on amphetamines and barbiturates. You see, it's a vicious cycle. The amphetamines to get me up, the barbiturates to bring me down. And all in concert, when I started drinking in beer along with the amphetamines, I'd drink about 4 or 5 a night, but I got up to 12, 14, or a case a night. And I would take it to the concert with me. I want to get just about that high off the ground before I'd go on stage. Sometime I'd misjudge how high I was, you know, and I'd get on stage and I was a wreck.
The Grand Ole Opry banned you at one time, didn't it?
Well, I don't know how bad they wanted me in the first place, but the night I broke all the lights on the stage with the microphone stand, they said they couldn't use me anymore. So I left and used that as an excuse to really get wild and wound up in the hospital with my third time I broke my nose.
What was the absolute low point?
The absolute lowest point was just before the turnaround in 1967, when I was down near Chattanooga, Tennessee, in my Jeep, and I decided that I could never face anybody again. I had gone back on my word with everybody so many times and hurt them and lied to them that I thought I'd just crawl off in a cave and die.
When Elvis Presley died, the nation was stunned. It was shocked to learn the tragic details, the cycle of pills that ate away at his life.
When he died, did you think, there but for the grace of God and the hands of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. I sure did. A lot of us did. We talked about it.
They started out together, young men who walked in off the street to the same recording studio in Memphis back in the mid-50s. That's Jerry Lee Lewis on the left, Johnny Cash is on the far right, and Elvis.
There's so many that started back in the mid-50s that are gone now, but there but for the grace of God, it was me. There were people that had been supplying me that didn't want to see me straighten up, you know. They had written me off. I mean, some prominent people in the music industry that wanted me to go down with them. But my friends and loved ones kept them away. I locked myself in my bedroom out here on Old Hickory Lake, the house that I bought. I was living there alone, and I climbed the walls for about 30 days.
When you were on the pills, did you think you were a better singer because of them?
Oh, I thought I was invincible. I thought I was indestructible.
But you're better now.
I broke a lot of bones, yeah. I feel a lot better now. I feel a lot better about my performing, the whole thing. I'm 50 years old, and I feel like life has really just begun for me.
And I find that every day that I make my daily commitment to Him and don't break that commitment, then the day works beautifully if I put my will and make His will be my will. You know, there are about one out of every 6 people, maybe one out of every 5 people, are prone to be chemically dependent. Something I learned in my hospitalization. 60 million prescriptions of Valium dispensed in 1984 in this country. You can figure 1 out of 6 or 10 million of those were dispensed to people who are prone to be chemically dependent. That means if they continue to take that, I'm not going down on Valium especially, but if they continue to take a mood-altering drug, they can become addicted or habituated to it. Valium or the sleeping pills or the uppers or the pain pills, and it can happen quite innocently that we can become habituated to these things. The problem with Christians, or the problem with me as a Christian, was that the mood, the alteration of the mood, vexes the spirit of communication and worship and commitment to God. And it's like anything else that can become between you and God as an idol to take the place of God. It becomes a god to you. It vexes the spirit of worship and communication and devotion to God. And I just want to caution, since this is youth night, I wanted to caution the young people that are strong in the faith to stay strong in the faith. And if you don't ever have to try pain pills or tranquilizers our uppers, for God's sakes, please don't. Because you can become dependent on them. And it's a road to ruin. From then, you see people sleeping under the bridges that have become addicted to drugs and alcohol. Everybody has to bottom out on it once they become addicted and habituated to it. I've heard people say that they felt so bad that they thought they were going to die. I remember a time during my hospitalization that I felt so bad I was afraid I was going to live. I didn't want to feel that way anymore. And I thank God for bringing me out of it and putting me back up on my feet and bringing me back to do the thing I love to do most of all. Sing a gospel song for you.
Wasn't that a great rendition of Amazing Grace and an even more powerful testimony of how Johnny Cash found the hope that is found in Jesus Christ? Well, let's continue with the theme of Thanksgiving, and let's listen to a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving.
In 1609, a group of pilgrims left England for religious freedom in Holland, where they lived and they prospered. But after a few years, their children were being influenced by Dutch culture. This worried the pilgrims. They considered the Dutch frivolous and their ideas a threat to their children's education and morality. This group of Bible believers decided to leave Holland and travel to the New World. On September 6, 1620, the pilgrims set sail for the New World on a ship called the Mayflower. They sailed from Plymouth, England, and aboard were 44 pilgrims and 66 others who the pilgrims called strangers. The long trip was cold and damp and took 65 days. Many passengers became sick, and one person died by the time land was sighted on November 10th. After land was sighted, a meeting was held, and an agreement was worked out called the Mayflower Compact, which guaranteed equality and unified the two groups. They joined together and named themselves the Pilgrims. Although they had first sighted land off Cape Cod, they did not settle until they arrived at Plymouth. The Pilgrims' biggest concern was attacked by local Native American Indians, but the tribe that was there were a peaceful group and did not prove to be a threat whatsoever. The first winter was devastating to the Pilgrims. The cold, snow, and sleet was exceptionally heavy, interfering with the work as they tried to construct their settlement. Of the 110 Pilgrims and crew who left England, less than 50 survived that first winter. On March 16th, 1621, what was to become an important event took place. An Indian brave walked into the Plymouth settlement. The Pilgrims were frightened until the Indian called out, "Welcome," in English. His name was Samoset. Samoset left the next day. He soon returned with another Indian named Squanto. It was Squanto who taught the Pilgrims how to tap maple trees for sap. He also taught them to plant crops. The harvest in October was very successful, and the Pilgrims found themselves with enough food to put away for the winter. They had built homes in the wilderness, they had raised enough crops to keep them alive during the long coming winter. They were at peace with their Indian neighbors. They had beaten the odds, and it was time to celebrate. Governor William Bradford proclaimed a day of thanksgiving to be shared by all the colonists and the neighboring Native Americans. They invited Squanto and the other Indians to join them in their celebration, which lasted for 3 full days. The following year, the Pilgrims' harvest was not as bountiful. They were still unaccustomed to growing corn. The third year brought a spring and summer that was hot and dry, with the crops dying in the field. Governor Bradford ordered a day of fasting and prayer, and it was soon thereafter that the rain came. To celebrate, November 29th of that year was proclaimed a day of thanksgiving. This day is believed to be the real true beginning of our present Thanksgiving Day celebration. The custom of an annually celebrated Thanksgiving held after the harvest continued through the years. During the American Revolution in the late 1770s, a day of national thanksgiving was suggested by the Continental Congress. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln appointed a national day of thanksgiving. And since then, each president has issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation, usually designating the fourth Thursday of each November as this holiday. We need to be thankful for what God has given to us as a nation, for our godly foundation, and for the Christian heritage that we have received from our founding fathers. On this Thanksgiving Day Sunday, we take time to celebrate Thanksgiving with our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing these United States of America.
Of gratitude for blessing.
I would definitely encourage you to go watch that song on the video on YouTube. It is I Am Thankful, Thanksgiving Songs for Kids and Family. And the web and the YouTube channel is Angie Gillian Music. So be sure, because each little kid holds up a sign of what they're thankful for. And it's just a really sweet video to help you with your meditation on thankfulness. Before we continue, I want to take a moment and give the Lord thankfulness for this day. And then we're going to have one more song of what we truly should be thankful for, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you know him. And then we will open our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. So probably should get ready. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I pray that you would know that we appreciate what you've done on the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. We thank you, thank you, thank you for your love and that you are in control and we can trust you. And thank you for your Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Bless this Bible study. Amen. I hope your Bible is open to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, as we continue our journey through Mark. He got his information from Peter. If you need to listen to back, or you're like, hey, I'd like to hear the rest of the Bible study, because we started with chapter 1, and I believe this is our sixth Bible study together, you can go to apradio.org, and there are all the past programs from Hour of Hope, and each one of the programs has the Bible study. So let's look at chapter 5 of Mark. So Jesus has just calmed the winds. They get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now look at what happens here. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Wow. So they're in what would have looked like a average size, fairly good size skiff for fishing, open face. They come up, and as soon as they land, when they jump out of the boat, this man comes running from where the tombs are. Now, tombs are a little different than we have. They're above ground. They were, when I was in Israel, they looked limestone, rock, and they set above ground. And so this man comes running from basically a cemetery. And he has, and we see right there in verse 2, an unclean spirit. He has a demon inside of him. Remember, or if you don't know, there's only two forces in this world. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, spiritually, not really forces, individual. Satan has his demons, says he's the father of lies, he deceives the whole world, he has devices or plans, and he's at work to steal, kill, and destroy. Many people think they can get into magic or spirit animals or talk to all these things, and that is not wise, because you're either in one of two places. You're with God or with Satan. With God is always very clear, whereas with Satan will be deceptions. You don't want to play around with that stuff, the Ouija boards, all that stuff, demonic video games, because ultimately at the end of the day, the author behind those is Satan. He neither appears this cute little wicked little red cartoon. He appears as an angel of light. You think he's good, and he promises stuff. He promised Eve wisdom if she took that fruit, and then Adam took it, and sin came. So this man has an evil spirit inside of him, who had his, verse 3, who had his dwelling place among the tombs. So he's living in the cemetery, if you can believe that. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Did you hear that? Everybody had tried to chain this guy, put shackles on him, and this demons inside of him were giving him super strength, and he broke them, so much so that they had put him out. It's even more scary in verse number 5, and always night and day, so all the time he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. So picture this man probably half naked. He's got all this scars and scabs and pus and bleeding. And he just looks like a wild animal almost, kind of like Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel. And he comes running. Now here we get some insight. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, why was he come running? He ran and worshipped him. Satan can worship God, but it's not the same kind of worship. It's a worship of he's more powerful than me. This isn't the good angel, the bad angel, and ones, they're equal. No, Jesus is all powerful. Satan has a limited power on this earth, but ultimately all power is Jesus. And he comes running. It's not worship, it's worship because I got to submit to you. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjourn thee by God that thou torment me not. He comes, he falls at, please, don't torment me. Now, one day he will be tormented. They'll be bound. They'll be thrown in that pit. You can read about that in Revelation. But he just says, please don't do that. For he said unto him, why did he say that? He said, come out of the man, the unclean spirit. So Jesus saw the man. He said, come out of him. Maybe he said, come out of him. He didn't even need to yell because he had all power. But whatever it is, they's like, please don't torment us. And then Jesus says in verse 9, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered and saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So there's a whole lot of demons inside of this man, and besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. So they're like, we don't want you to send us, because of course they're thinking he's going to maybe send them to the pit already, but he's going to send them away. Now therefore was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. When you think of mountains in the scriptures, it's better to think of them like the islands and Aleutians. They're these steep, kind of tall hills, but not like a Colorado Rockies, but more like what you see in the Aleutian Islands. And he brings up in verse 11 that on one of these mountains close to them, there's a bunch of swine or pigs. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. So he the devils, talking through this man, says, hey, why don't you send us into the, please send us into the pigs versus sending us away. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So Jesus gives them permission. He tells them, okay, go in the swine. They couldn't do it unless he said it. Again, he has the power. These demons do not have any power over Jesus. He has all the power. And he sends them into the pigs. And then the pigs, because if you think of it, imagine on the side of a hill of an Aleutian island, there was about 2,000 pigs and they all start running off. Well, of course you can picture them falling in the water, and it says they drowned. They drowned the sea. Now, verse 14, we pick up those that watched the pigs. It says, and they that found the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus. So the guys that are watching the pigs, they go back to the village and they tell them all, hey, this happened. Jesus said this, and then just in verse number 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. So they would have known this man who had been possessed with the devil and had the legion. So they knew he was that guy sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. It's clear when Jesus touches somebody, he brings order, he brings deliverance. This man went from a crazy guy cutting himself, running through the mountains, breaking chains, to now it says he's in his right mind. The demons are completely gone. But the response, I find, is interesting. They're not praising God. It says they were afraid. They're scared. They look at this not as a good thing, but as a scary thing. It's kind of funny sometimes, you know, people who are wild, crazy partiers and really bad people that get saved, and then people don't want to have anything to do with them. They're scared. But and what we see here is the response is not, let's get our other people who are demon-possessed, our sick people, bring them to Jesus. That's not what we see. What do we see in verse 16? And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. So the guys say, oh yeah, that's the guy, that's the one. And the response, they say, get out of here. Please leave. Verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, they could have had so many miracles, but they didn't want Jesus there. Jesus goes back to the ship. That's so sad. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So then that man comes to Jesus. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So what you see here is you see that they tell him to get lost. Jesus leaves. This man comes and said, no, you need to go back and tell them. You need to go. Tell all those people what you've done. They'll see you. They'll know who you are, and you tell them. And so he tells, and you'll later in Mark, we'll come back to that area, but he's going to tell everyone about what Jesus did for him. Well, there's a couple applications from this text. We're not going to get through all of chapter 5. We'll pick it up next week. But one, how many of us do not get the blessing or the things Jesus wants to do in our life because we harden our hearts? We don't want him here. And so we put our foot down and we say, I don't want you to do that, Jesus. And then we miss out on all this that God wants to do in our lives. And second, maybe you're in a place that's not great, a place that's challenging. Look at what Jesus did for that place. He sent this guy out to tell him. So you may be in a place that people don't love God, are very wicked, but what's the answer? You're like, why? Well, the why is so you can tell them about what the Lord has done in your life. Why don't we close in prayer, and then I want to do talk about something else, but think about it for a minute. Are you the person that's resisted what God wants to do in your life? And you just need to pray and say, God, have your way. You can come into my heart. You can do great things. And are you the person that God's wanting to use to change your world? Why don't you think for a minute which one you are in the story? Are you the villagers? Maybe you're the person who's been resisting that person who's been talking to you about Jesus. Did you see it? What happened there? You could have Jesus doing great things in your village, your life, but you just won't have it because you're scared. Well, you need to receive him today. Maybe you're the person who God has done great things and you've not told anyone. You need to tell him today. Whatever it is, we want to ask God to richly help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to do a Bible study looking at what Jesus did in the Gadareans. I pray that all of us who are listening would choose to receive Christ. We already know him, choose to live for Christ. And those that are resisting him would repent of that. God, I pray for great work as people think on this story. Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace and mercy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been so good to be with you, and I do hope you have a great Thanksgiving Day this Thursday. And we know what happens right after that. Everything will ramp up for Christmas and the holiday seasons. Well, to get that started, we are going to spend a few minutes to focus on the history of, you probably are hearing that song in the background, Silent Night. Silent Night. In fact, every program the next few weeks until Christmas is going to be focused on the history of our carols and our traditions. And if you have a carol or a tradition that you would like the history on or why do we have it, you could email me and I'll be glad to share that on air. It's Matthew, M-A-T-H-E-W, V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N at gmail.com. Maybe Hark the Herald Angels Sing or the 12 Days of Christmas, which actually has an amazing Christian story. You won't believe it till you hear it. But for Silent Night, it actually comes out of Europe. And there was a man who was, he was at a church. The organ was broke down. And he was very discouraging because, of course, on Christmas Eve Mass, you have to have music. You've got to have a song. And so this man, Joseph Moore, J-O-S-E-F, and last name Moore, M-O-H-R, he was very discouraged and he went for a walk. And while he was there, he noticed how silent it was. And on Christmas Eve at 1818, they performed Silent Night, not with the broken organ, of course, but with a guitar. And of course, the congregation loved it. Now, how did it, Silent Night, go, we could say, viral? Well, a few weeks later, a little bit later, the organ repairman was in town fixing the organ, and Joseph Moore played Silent Night for him, and he was so taken, it spread across Europe and eventually came to America. And there we have in the story of Silent Night. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it gets you in the festive holiday mood. Let's listen to that wonderful carol now.
Call out the people we serve, we shall believe.
What an amazing carol and rendition. I hope you were as moved as I was. Let me go over the songs that we heard today, and you can find them all on YouTube. Don Moian, Give Thanks, Live Worship Session. Come Ye Thankful People, Come Grace Community Church Congregation. Johnny Cash's Testimony on His Life in Jesus. Johnny Cash, Amazing Grace. The Christian History of Thanksgiving. I Am Thankful, Thanksgiving Worship Songs for Kids and Family. Silent Night Instrumental. Night of Silence, Silent Night, St. Olaf Choir featuring. And also the Thank You for the Cross, Lord, the Brooklyn Tabernacle. That music is so wonderful. Don't forget to email me if you have a request for the, like a hymn or a carol or a Christmas tradition you would like me to discuss on the air. How do we get Santa Claus? Where do the stockings come from? Christmas trees, all of that. Many of them have an amazing, amazing history. My email again, you can write this down, email me what you would like me to do for the history. If you have a request, it's MATHEW, V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N, at gmail.com. Please tell some other ones about this wonderful program, and I'll be giving you a couple special Christmas announcements next week on the program. So you'll want to definitely tune in. We have some exciting things planned for the Christmas season. Well, this has been Pastor Matthew Vroman at Safe Harbor. This is Hour of Hope. It comes to you every week at this time at 11 a.m. But if you miss it, don't forget apradio.org. I'll see you next week. Remember, there is always hope in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died for our sins.